read in your Bibles with me. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 18. And we'll begin reading at verse number 35. And it came to pass that as he, the Lord Jesus, was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. There was a series of gospel meetings going on, such as we've been having here. And a mother had been trying to get her son to come out and hear the gospel. Her husband, his father, had died years before. She was one who knew the Lord as her Savior. The three daughters all knew Christ as their Savior. He did not. I'm not sure why. Maybe, like a lot of young people, later, I'll get saved later. He told his mother he would come to one meeting to please her. And he did the last meeting. He came. So he's sitting down in a seat in a row. And he just kind of turns his mind off. He's like listening to the preacher, looking around. And he notices that there are things in fives in the room that are in. Five panes of glass. Five windows on each side, five panes of glass. And they all had five points at the top. He looks up at the light hanging down. One above him. Five lights. But one of them is in darkness. Then he looked at the row he was in. And he said to himself, that's just like me. My mother and my three sisters are children of light. I know they know Christ as their Savior. And I am still in darkness. Just like those five lights. Four are burning and one is in darkness. That's me. He never listened to a word the preacher said. He was a troubled young man. He was very quiet on the way home. Went up to his room, sat down in his bed, took out his Bible and wiped the dust off of it, turned to those very familiar gospel verses he'd known all his life. And God spoke to his heart that night. You'd best not put off getting saved any longer. It's time to become a child of light and be saved and know Christ as your Savior. And the young man did just that. Saved through looking at a burnout light bulb in a meeting place. Wonderful to be a child of light. I spent 30 years myself as a child of the darkness. The Bible calls us, before we're saved, as children of darkness, children of disobedience, children of Satan. And when we get saved, we are translated by God from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We have here a man in our lovely story who was in darkness. Not only is he in darkness spiritually, but he's in darkness physically. He's a blind man. And the Bible teaches, as I said, that before we come to know God, to have a real personal relationship with God. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about God's salvation, knowing Christ as Savior. Until that moment in my life, I'm in the dark, spiritually blinded. Sin in the Bible is pictured as darkness. Don't know where we're going. Before I was saved 10 years ago, if somebody asked me if I knew where I was going, I'd say, no, I don't know where I'm going. How about you tonight? Where are you going? Where are you going when you die? If on the way home tonight there's a car accident, God forbid, and it happens, it's bang, and you're gone into eternity, where are you going? I didn't know where I was going. Oh, I hoped I was going to heaven. And then I started getting, giving up this and that for a little time, started going to church and feeling pretty good about myself. And then I think maybe I'm going to heaven. But I did not know where I was going because I was still in the dark. The darkness of sin. Kingdom of darkness. And that's Satan's kingdom. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of God's dear Son should shine in unto them, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The devil blinds people's minds, lest the light should shine in. People wonder what's wrong with the world. And sometimes I like to blame God. That isn't the God to blame. The God to blame is the one who's running the show down here, and his name is Satan, the deceiver. All the glory's mine, he said, and I give it to whomsoever I will. And he keeps people in the dark. He doesn't mind you getting religious either. He doesn't mind that one bit. Go to church every Sunday and read your Bible. Go ahead. As long as you don't come to a point in your life when you're hungering and thirsting to know God and want to be saved from your sin and know where you're going. When you start to get concerned about your soul, when you start to wonder about why am I here, where am I going, I can leave you alone until that point. You trust tonight that you're here and you want to know the truth. The truth, of course, is, as we've already been considering, we are children of darkness. We don't know where we're going. Christians know where they're going. When I got saved 10 years ago, it was like someone, like being in a dark room and someone clicks on the light and you know where you're going. I knew I was saved because I'd accepted Christ as my Savior. Now the devil wants to keep people away from hearing the gospel. Because the simple gospel message, such as you're hearing tonight, we're so glad you're here. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The word in the Greek is dunamis, and it's where we get our word dynamite from. It is a dynamite of God, a simple message of salvation. We are sinners, we are in the dark, and we need to become children of light before I die, or I go to hell. I go to outer darkness and I stay there forever, regardless of how I live my life. There was a policeman in a park, and he noticed this man not dressed like he had money. Dressed rather poorly. And he sees this very fine dog, pedigree dog, following this man right at his feet. And the man is just sort of casually strolling like this toward the extremity of the park. And so the policeman gets a little curious, and he walks over, what's this dog, very expensive dog, doing with this man? They don't seem to fit. So he speaks to the man, and the man stops, and he sees the dog sniffing his pant leg. And so the policeman knelt down, and there inside of his pant leg, this man had a nice piece of meat. And what he was doing, done it before, he's taking this dog, and he's luring the dog away like this, luring him away, until he gets out of sight, and he grabs that dog, and he goes, and he sells the dog for money. Now the devil knows, Satan knows what we like. And he uses all the things he knows that we like to draw us away and draw us away further and further from the truth of God's word. And of course his purpose is a very evil purpose. It's that he wants us to be in the lake of fire with him forever. This man is in darkness. We are all in darkness until I come to the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive him as my Savior. He opens the eyes of the blind, and he sets us free from Satan's power. There's a lovely verse that tells us about his coming in Isaiah 42, speaking of him, and give thee for a covenant to the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes. Not just in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. Open the blind eyes to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And we have a lovely picture of how I am brought out of the prison house, how I am made to see and know where I'm going in this lovely account in Luke chapter 18. The man is blind, and we are blind spiritually, until I'm saved and know I'm saved. But the man also is begging. He's begging for his living, and we see him also begging for his sight. We are all paupers too before God. You know, sometimes we think that I have something to offer God. And I know people think that if they live just a half-decent life, you know, and treat their neighbor good and be kind to people, and somehow when they die, they can present this to God and say, well, I lived a good life, I did. And you know, I went to church sometimes and all these things. As though we had something to offer God. We have nothing to offer God. The Bible says we are all as an unclean thing. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, upon the face of the earth. Doing our best will not get us into God's heaven. Mr. Wells was a Christian man getting his hair cut, talking to the barber about salvation. You know where you're going. Are you sure of heaven? Oh, well, he said, as far as heaven goes, the barber's telling Mr. Wells this, I do my best. And that's good enough. I know it is. I do my best. It's all a man can do. When the haircut was all over, another man sat down in the chair. Mr. Wells had his jacket on, paid the barber, then he grabs those clippers and plugs them in and walks over and turns the razor on and stood behind the man in the chair. And he said, you don't mind if I cut his hair, do you? And the barber said, well, actually, I do mind. And Mr. Wells said, listen, I'll do my best. And the barber said, well, I don't think your best would be good enough for my customer. And Mr. Wells said, I want to tell you something, sir. Your best is not good enough for God either. Please think about it. The only way to heaven is to be born from above, born again into God's family. If I'm going to be in heaven, I must be born again. The Lord Jesus didn't say, it would be nice if you were born again. I think you'll like being born again. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, let alone be in the kingdom of God. Marvel not, he said. Say unto thee, ye must be born again. And that is when I become rich toward God. But until that time, we're like this man, begging. He's asking, what's the commotion? There's no welfare back then, no social assistance. He's sitting down, trying to make some money so he can live. He's a little cup there, maybe he's begging, sitting down. And he hears all the commotion, he can't see anything. And he said, what's going on? And they said, oh, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Imagine this man's thinking now. He has heard about the Lord Jesus. And he hears that he is passing by. And those words arrest this man. He does not want the Lord Jesus to pass by. He wants to know the Lord Jesus. He wants to have his sight given to him. And so he cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he cries out again. This man is a man in earnest. He wants to get to Christ. He wants to know this one. He's heard about him. Now he wants to know him. And he's in earnest. He is begging. And the only time in our lives that we get saved is when we are like this man. When I'm fed up with this life, the way that I am, the condition that I'm in, I don't know where I'm going, I've got no power in my life, I want to know God. The Bible talks about Him, the blessed Lord Jesus who died for my sins, and I don't even know Him. I want to know Him. I want to be saved. That's when you're going to get saved. Salvation is not for the half-hearted. It's only for those with all their heart. They want to know Him. Earnest, being in earnest. Notice this cry was a personal cry of mercy on me. There may have been other blind men there. Another account tells us perhaps there were. He's interested in himself. Me. Have mercy on me. And it's a definite prayer, isn't it? I want my sight. I want my sight. A good friend of mine lives where I'm from, near St. John, New Brunswick. He was 17 years old, went through a period of sickness, serious sickness, came out of it. He did a lot of thinking when he was sick. What if I die? What a thing, you think about it. What if I die? I don't know where I'm going. And I want to know. I want to know God. Well, this man from a cult comes to him and starts feeding him things that the cult is teaching. It's not settling real good with him. All to do with working your way to heaven, making yourself presentable to God. Do these things, do those things. Don't do those things, don't do those things, and maybe. Frustrating. He gave him a book to read one day, dropped over this man, and gave my friend Gary a book. He never got to open the cover. He looked in the cover, and there's a verse on the cover of the book, Jeremiah 29 and verse number 13. And it says this, God said, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And he looked at that book, at that verse, and he knew with all my heart, and he wanted to know God. And he knelt down by his bed, and he's in anguish. He knows he's not right with God. And he cries out, oh Lord Jesus, if you're there, I want to know you. I want to be saved. Please reveal yourself to me with all of his heart. And the young man, 17 years old, God opened his eyes, and he knew all he had to do was put his trust in the Lord Jesus. Just receive him as his Savior. And he was born again on that day. He was in earnest. Have you ever been in earnest about knowing God? We must be in earnest about the matter. It's good to hear the gospel. But I have to confess, it wasn't until I heard the gospel preached that I started doing some thinking. Because I knew I wasn't hearing somebody's opinion. I was hearing the truth from the Word of God. And I did some thinking, 4 months wrestling with this. Finally, I just sort of weighed it up. What am I doing here? Am I going to take a chance with my eternal soul? The Bible says I must know Christ personally as my Savior from sin. And I'm just going on doing the same thing with the guys in the world? No way. I'm going to get saved. Then live my life. I meant business. And because I did, with all my heart, I wanted Christ. I was saved on that day. April 29th, 1980. Lovely picture of how a man or a woman gets their sight. And they can say, I know I'm going to heaven. I think I'm going. Or I hope I'm going. But I know. Well, how do you know the Lord Jesus Christ lives anyway? How do you know? And you can answer, I know. Because I know Him personally. And He lives in my heart. And He does. Within the bosom of every Christian. Christ one. Those who have come to Christ. The man is blind as we are blind, born that way. And the man is begging, have mercy on me. Now notice the people. They tried to keep him away. Oh, it's all right for them. They can see. No, they've seen the sunset and they've seen the sunrise and they've seen all the trees and the flowers and the birds and they've seen the face of their mother and their father and their brothers and sisters and all their friends. It's fine for them. Here's a man who has not seen anything all of his life. He's in total darkness, can't see, just hears descriptions. And here comes one who is able to give the man his sight. And he cries out, have mercy on me. And the crowd turns to him and they rebuke him. Hold your peace, man. Never mind going after the Lord Jesus. Leave him alone. Stay the way you are. And that is like the world. People in the world who love the world and all the pleasures in the world. You just mentioned you were thinking about God's salvation to laugh at you. Make you feel kind of small. You're going to become one of those, are you? Huh? Come on. That's the world. We had gospel meetings for 2 weeks. And St. Stephen in Bunchik, where I live, we're in the storefront downtown. Invitations gone out. And there's one man in particular we were hoping would come. His wife had gotten saved the summer before. And he promised he would. But the whole week went by and never came. And now we're in the second week of meetings. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, same thing. Friday night he comes out. And I said to him, Gene, what took you so long to come? Glad you're here. But what took you so long? Well, he said, I was thinking of coming more than once. But my buddy said, what are you going down there for? Come on, Gene. A Tuesday night? You know, with like Sunday. What are you doing? Don't go down there. And he listened to them. And we have a little picture of that right here in our chapter. They rebuked him. A man who wanted to know Christ. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with knowing God? With knowing the Lord Jesus as my Savior? I'm saved. My sins are gone. I'm on the way to heaven. I have peace in my heart. I have joy in my heart. I don't need to chase after all the things Satan has to offer in the world. I'm a child of light. Now, what's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. Absolutely nothing. I have a track sometimes I use. It says, what you miss by being a Christian. Because the devil tells people, oh, my, you become a Christian, you know, no more fun for you. Well, you can't do this, you can't do that. You're going to miss all these things. So the track says on the outside what you miss by becoming a Christian. And you open it up, and it says, H-E-L-L. That is what you miss by becoming a Christian. You miss hell. And you know you're going to heaven. It's wonderful to be a Christian. It's sad when people let people influence them. Oh, friend, if you're here tonight and you're really wanting to know Christ, to know God, to know the truth, don't let anybody stop you. You search with all your heart. And I'll tell you something, you won't have any regrets. Not one. It's wonderful to be a Christian. It's an exciting life, it really is. I've been 10 years saved. I've been 30 years unsaved. Trying all the things this world has to offer. All the drugs, all the alcohol out there, the parties, all the music, and all the things this world has to offer. And then one day I got saved, and I found out what joy is all about, what satisfaction is all about, what peace is all about. And that's what God's people have. Now this man was begging. This man is blind. And this man is brought. Verse number 40. When Jesus heard his cry, Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. The Lord Jesus wanted this man who wanted his sight brought unto him. And the Lord Jesus wants you brought unto him. Sometimes he uses mothers and fathers to bring children, sons and daughters to himself. Sometimes he uses a brother or sister to bring a brother or sister to himself. Sometimes he uses friends. Sometimes he'll use Sunday school teachers. Sometimes he'll use preachers, neighbors, co-workers. I can remember my brother John. He lived in Calgary, and he heard about me becoming saved. I was telling my family they needed God's salvation. They were in danger of going to hell, which the Bible declares plainly. He came down from Calgary, I'm not sure what the purpose was, but one of them was this, to straighten me out. So he came up to our little apartment where I live, banged on the door and came in. I hadn't seen him in about 2 years. He came in and he had a few pints of beer in his pocket, and I think a few in his belly. He came in to straighten me out. He was hollering and waving his finger at me, who did I think I was, telling his brothers they were going to hell. We're all going to heaven someday. We all are. Well, a friend came in and rescued me from that situation. But he wasn't there to listen. He was there to tell me off and so on. So he goes back to Calgary. And I said to myself, and I think to others, of my five brothers, he's the last one, I'm sure, if ever, that's going to get saved. He is really hard against the gospel. He got a new job as soon as he gets back. He's a welder. And he's on his job 5 minutes. He's working with another man who's to be his teacher, I guess. The man turns to him and asks John, my brother, are you a Christian? This man was a Christian. And my brother John is dumbfounded by this. He just left St. John, New Brunswick, telling me off. And here this man is telling him he's a Christian. Are you a Christian? You need to be saved. Gave my brother John something to read in gospel literature. And my brother John was the first of my brothers to accept Christ. The Lord Jesus wanted him brought onto him. And he was. My father all his life had no time for God. He would read books, I guess, Chariots of the Gods and things, and consider the pyramids and try, and, He could consider everything but the Bible. And that's what he did through his life. He's 53 years old. And he has some pains in his chest. And he goes to the doctor, and they're taking all kinds of tests and taking pieces out of his lungs. He fears the worst. They can't find what's wrong with him. But he was right. He had reason to fear the worst because it was cancer. And the reason they couldn't find it, it was in the lining of his lung. And it spread throughout him. And for the first time in his life, my father listened to what the Bible said. He didn't listen before, you see. He was healthy, and he had his life to live. I don't know what he was thinking. But now he knows he doesn't get along here. And so he listens. And because he listened, he heard, and he became like this man. He became in earnest. He wanted to be saved. He wanted to know where he was going. Not hope to go to heaven. What a way to die. I hope I'm going. God says that's not my salvation. My salvation is a no-so salvation. And so, my father, because he was in earnest, he received Christ as his Savior. And he died, I believe, 4 months after. The Lord Jesus wanted him brought onto him. He used cancer to bring my father to himself. This newspaper, I'm just going to read this. I read the newspaper last year. In memoriam. I don't know if they have them down here, but on an anniversary of someone's death. A little poem or something. Picture of a boy here, 12 years old. Who died. Motorcycle. 1 year ago, this very night, son Sean was called away to dwell with God in heaven's abode for eternity to stay. When he was here and lived with us, our priorities were wrong. We worked hard to gain material things. For money and riches did we long. But when you lose the most precious thing that you ever hoped to possess, life takes on a whole new meaning. To that I must confess. I am a better person now than what I was before. It took the losing of my son to send me in prayer to the floor. I wouldn't wish Sean back again. It would be for him most sad to snatch him back from heaven's gates, even to be with his dear old dad. So since he can't return to me, I've made sure I'll go to him. I've invited Christ into my heart and to cleanse me from my sin. The Lord wanted Mr. Newman brought onto him. And it took the death of his son to bring him. In Job chapter 33 and verse 14 it says, God speaketh once, yea twice. And man perceiveth it not. And that's a sad, sad thing. I wonder if perhaps God has attempted to get your attention in your lifetime. And you haven't recognized it to be the call of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, to an acknowledgement of what I am before God. I'm a lost sinner on the road to a lost eternity. Lord Jesus, I now accept you as my Savior from sin. That is salvation. It's faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why these meetings have been arranged. We're glad you're here tonight, that you might hear. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As our brother mentioned tonight, as Pilate said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What will you do with the Lord Jesus? We can either accept the message from God and turn to Christ and receive Him as Savior and Lord, or I can just say no. I don't like what I hear. I don't want the Lord Jesus as my Savior right now. And that is a very dangerous thing to do. Because the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Each one of us, we are responsible to God. We must, as I've mentioned, be born again. We need to know Christ personally as Savior and Lord. It isn't a question of being sincere or living a good life. It's a question of, have I ever been born from above? Have I ever seen myself in that awful state God says I am, in my sin, and cried out for mercy, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I have sinned, and I know I'm not worthy of heaven. But Lord, I don't want my sin. I acknowledge what I am, and I want you as my Savior. I want you now, and I now receive you. That is the story of every Christian's life. Anybody who's saved can tell you when they did that. Simply in their heart, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is a very simple message. As I said, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about God's salvation. We either have it or we don't. As I've mentioned, for 30 years of my life, I didn't have it. I'm so happy to say, for the last 10 years of my life, I have had God's salvation. I simply heard this simple message, and I knew it was from God for me. And what was I going to do with Christ? We trust that you might make the same decision that I did. Take God at His word. Turn to His Son. This man received his sight immediately. And followed the Lord Jesus in the way. Change life. And that's what the Lord Jesus does with everyone. Change life. And this man, he didn't think that he could see. He didn't hope that he could see. He could see. And that's the way it is with God's people. Those who are saved know they're saved. They're sure of heaven. They have eternal life. Their eyes are open. And your eyes can be open tonight. The world says seeing is believing. It's the reverse with God. Believing is seeing. First, you believe. First, you accept Christ as your Savior. And then, God opens our eyes and we see. Do we trust tonight that you come and you've never been born again into God's family? That you might consider Him tonight, what you have heard, the simple gospel. And may you respond like Bartimaeus, I'm not going to let the Lord Jesus pass by. While I'm troubled about my sin, I am going to invite Him in now to be my Savior. We trust that you might do just that tonight. Salvation takes place within, in our hearts. It's my opening my heart's door and saying, Lord Jesus, I now receive you as Lord of my life, my Savior. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we draw near to Thee. We do thank Thee for the wonderful story of the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that it is an invitation to everyone to come and believe in Him. We thank Thee, Father, that the Lord, He wants all brought unto Him. We thank Thee, gracious Father, for those who came here tonight and perhaps have never been born into Thy family. We just pray that Thou might speak to them, that they might understand their need of Christ and not go on their way any longer without a Savior. Without assurance of heaven. We commit them to Thee, gracious Father, and ask Thy blessing upon the word as it is gone forth. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Oh, we got a little bit over, so we